Happy Monday, folks. Welcome to your Need to Know podcast. It is January 28th. We are broadcasting from New York City. I'm Hannah Doba with my co-host and producer, Carlo Versano.
Hey, everyone. Good morning, Hannah.
While you were sleeping, the U.S. and the Taliban have agreed to the framework of a peace deal in Afghanistan that could lead to a full pullout of American troops. The chief negotiator said the Taliban agreed to prevent the country from becoming a terrorist safe haven and would open talks with the Afghani government.
Okay, so there's a there's a long way to go here, and everything when it comes to Afghanistan needs to be couched. But this has the feeling of being different, Hannah. It's very encouraging that the Taliban is going to recognize the Afghan government for the first time and agree to a ceasefire. I don't want to get excited, but we should be cautiously optimistic that this could be the beginning of the end of America's longest war.
800,000 government workers are back on the job today after the longest government shutdown in American history is now over. The airports, the IRS, and FDA, just some of the government offices to be fully staffed for the first time in 35 days. The president announced the end to the shutdown last week in a Rose Garden press conference. He agreed to reopen the government and give Congress 3 weeks to come up with a compromise on border wall funding. But many federal employees are worried that in 3 weeks they are going to be right back in the same position. The other big question also is when will these workers get the back pay that they were promised? Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said they hope to have all the paychecks out by the end of the week.
You know, the other thing we're watching here is the State of the Union is supposed to be tomorrow. It's still up in the air. A spokesman for Speaker Pelosi said the other day it's not happening tomorrow, as was the plan. So I guess maybe we'll get some clarity on that today. Look, these next 3 weeks are going to be an all-out messaging war. It's going to be about whether the situation on the border is a national emergency. Get ready. That's all you're going to hear from the White House until February 15th when the funding runs back out. This is my bet.
Okay.
Democrats don't give in on the wall. The president then uses that as a justification to declare a national emergency in a couple weeks rather than shut down the government.
Let's talk 2020. Senator Kamala Harris officially kicked off her presidential campaign with a rally in Oakland in front of 20,000 people. Also, Hillary Clinton has reportedly not ruled out a 2020 run. That's according to a CNN report. Clinton has told people she's not closing the doors on it. And last night, the former CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, said on 60 Minutes that he was seriously considering mounting an independent bid for president using his own fortune to finance a campaign.
Yeah, so Kamala Harris, she had more people at that rally the other day than Obama did when he announced in 2007.
That's amazing.
Sort of interesting.
Yeah.
But let's talk Howard Schultz for a minute. The reaction to his quasi-announcement on 60 last night was pretty telling, I thought. Democrats are online begging him not to run. They're saying that this is not the time for a third-party candidate. The fear is that he would be splitting the vote, right? He'd play spoiler and elect President Trump again. The Democrats are saying it's more important to back the horse that can beat Trump. You know, Mike Bloomberg already considered running as an independent and decided against it for this very reason. If he runs, it'll be as a Democrat. The other issue, Hannah, is, you know, I do think that a third party candidate has a real chance given how many younger voters don't associate with either party. But the idea that it's going to be a billionaire CEO at this moment in time that galvanizes this crowd, I just don't buy that.
Mailing is about to get a lot more expensive. Forever stamps are now 55 cents, up from 50 cents. It's reportedly the largest jump in history for the United States Postal Service. In addition to the stamp increase, the Postal Service says it's also raising the prices of small and large flat rate boxes sent priority. The price hikes will help the agency cover a $4 billion loss from last year.
If you put a gun to my head and asked me how much a stamp costs, I don't think I would have been able to tell you.
And we should mention this. The Trump administration is reportedly asking allies to bar Huawei. That's the Chinese telecom giant and other Chinese companies from building out their 5G wireless networks. According to a report in the New York Times, the U.S. government sees 5G as crucial to gaining an economic and military edge for the century.
So Britain, Poland, and Germany have all been asked, I put in quotes, not to work with Huawei by the U.S., according to this story. You know, 5G is important because it's the first time wireless technology will actually be fast enough to support all the stuff that we don't see. So, you know, the sensors in self-driving cars, factory robots, drones. You can see why the government considers this to be such a national security priority. It's not just about, like, your cell phone downloading Instagram faster, right? But keep in mind, this is all happening against the backdrop of a trade war with China.
Carlo, did you watch the live televised version of Rent last night on Fox?
You know, I didn't, but I heard it was a disaster.
You heard right. Rent was supposed to be live, but wound up as mostly pre-recorded footage from the dress rehearsal after one of the lead actors, with no understudy, broke his ankle. Another problem, people here in New York City were unable to view the first few minutes because of a technical glitch. Now, despite the problems, the actors in the show, Vanessa Hudgens, Brandon Victor Dixon, and Kiersey Clemons, all getting high marks for their performances. Carlo, you and I know this so well. Live TV is not easy. It's never easy. Yeah. There are so many moving parts. One glitch and a lot of things can go wrong. What I don't understand is why the lead actor did not have an understudy.
Yeah, seriously. That's crazy.
What I do love from last night, though, Wakanda Forever, Black Panther was the big winner at the 25th Annual Screen Actors Guild Award, taking home the Best Ensemble Cast Award. On the TV side, another one of my favorites, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, had a marvelous night. The Amazon Prime comedy scored the Best Ensemble for Comedy, as well as acting awards for Tony Shalhoub and Rachel Brosnahan.
Amid all the drama about the host, this is actually shaping up to be one of the more unpredictable Oscar races. And I think Black Panther gets serious momentum from the SAGs. They're often thought to be the predictor for the Oscars, so I wonder if that now has a real shot at Best Picture.
Because it didn't do really well at the Golden Globes.
Right.
All right. Time will tell. That's what you need to know on this Monday, January 28th. Thanks so much for listening.
Have a great day, everyone.